When he was born and placed on me, I kept saying over and over, "What is this? It's a baby, oh my goodness." Throughout my pregnancy, I don't think I ever really could have prepared myself for that moment.
Do you remember what it was like to the moment of the birth of your first child? What an amazing experience. I too remember that little hand wrapped around my finger. I was so overcome with how small and precious this little baby was. Hello, this is Carol, and we want to welcome you to Women of Hope this Easter time. We're so glad to share this time with you, aren't we, Tammy?
We sure are. This is when we take the time to think about Jesus, his birth, and his death. But before we do that, let's hear what else Emily has to say.
Becoming a mother has changed me more than anything else in my life. I feel, think, and act so differently now to how I did before my son was born. His birth was astounding. There before me was a unique human being with his whole life ahead of him. And I had been given this special job to care for him, to nurture and guide him as he grows. I still feel overwhelmed by this responsibility, yet I'm excited and filled with wonder. When people ask me how I'm going, I'm quick to list off the difficulties of being a new parent. Not enough sleep, no time to myself, and so much washing. But these are very small issues when I stop and think about the joy of being a mum. My life is all about providing for my son at the moment, and I wouldn't have it any other way. At first, I struggled a little with losing my freedom to do what I wanted when I wanted. But now, I've learned to go with the flow, to relax and enjoy each moment as it happens. I love to watch him sleep and feed. He has already changed so much. Each day brings more change. Each day is a new adventure.
What a special time of life it is when your first baby is so new. As Emily said, every day is an adventure.
And it is, because we really don't know what's going to happen next. Maybe today will be the day her little boy looks at her and smiles.
I remember what a special day that was.
If you're not a mother yet, or you've not been able to have a baby, maybe you've been able to share some special moments like that with someone who is a mother, your sister, or a cousin, or even your own mother.
Let's hear from Carolyn, another mother. Her first little girl is a toddler now, and she's expecting her second baby in a very few months.
Looking at my little girl, her hands in the air and chubby toddler legs twirling around to the music, I can't help but laugh and join in. The pure joy expressed in that moment fills me up from the inside. It's a moment I try to cling to as I sob with exhaustion in the middle of the night. She's awake again and just wants her mum. Often at the end of the day, I think, what have I done today? A trip to the playground, reading another book, pretending to change a baby doll's nappy, singing songs together. It doesn't feel like much. Then one day, I hand her a drink and she says, thank you. Without me reminding her, what a triumph, what a celebration. I have the most special girl in the whole world. In that moment, all the times I had to say, what do you say, were worthwhile. That's what it's like for me being a mum. A lot of constant, patient work, but with so many times of amazing joy watching my precious child learn, grow, and love.
Oh, I can see her little legs twirling and her mother dancing with her. What a beautiful picture.
And I'm sure you can remember all the hard work of keeping up with a toddler. The sleepless nights. Oh, I know Carolyn has a very helpful husband. But still, As she says, there are times when she cries at night because she's so exhausted and doesn't want to get up again. But she does, because her little one needs her mommy. That's love, isn't it? And just as she says, her daughter will also learn to love and be kind, just like her mother.
On Women of Hope today, we're hearing from some mothers. Sally is the mother of three growing children, a 9-year-old girl, a 6-year-old girl, and a little boy of 3 years old. This is what she said.
I love being a mum, but naturally there are times when I wonder what I'm doing. Am I doing it well enough? And how will it affect my children? I feel very fortunate to have three children, and I often wonder, am I treating each child fairly as an individual? I want to do what's best for each one, show them respect and allow them dignity. Some days are really good and other days can really get you down. I love the busyness of being a stay-at-home mum, walking my kids to school and making friends with other mums. I love the bond I now have with some of these mums, working as a team to help each other out in times of need. I love it. When I worked full-time, I felt I really missed out. I get such joy out of the small things. When my daughter says, thanks, Mum, for letting my friend stay over and play. Or, you're the best. Thanks for my favourite snack in my lunchbox. Or just, I love you, Mummy, from my 3-year-old. I never get tired of watching each child develop new skills and achieve new things as they become more independent. But there is a price to pay as they need me less and less. I wonder how much independence to give them so they can develop as an individual. My 6-year-old has chosen her own clothes since she was about 3. She knows what she wants to wear. Even though I might think it looks a bit unusual, mostly she looks great. I worry and hope all at the same time that as a parent I am able to nurture them in a way that helps them develop into beautiful adults.
Isn't it interesting to hear from these different mothers here on Women of Hope? We often wonder or worry, don't we? And it's always good to share with other mothers, like Sally does. You can get advice from each other when you're not quite sure what to do.
Our next mother has children who are in their later years at school. Jenny's children are 16, 14, and 12 years old. And she says that she's still learning things about parenting.
I find the hardest thing is to let go. Letting them make their own mistakes and hopefully learn from them. I want to protect them when I see them making unwise choices. But my very wise husband reminds me that it's better for them to make the mistakes now than later in life when the consequences might be much worse. The other lesson I'm still learning is I'm not always right. They are individuals and have their own views and taste in all areas of life. They are not always the same as ours. This can be very hard to accept sometimes, especially when it comes to God, church, politics, fashion, and what they spend their money on. The rewarding thing is when I do see them making good choices, drawing on what we have tried to teach them over the years. It is a good feeling. Watching them contribute to society in a positive way is a real blessing. It's probably the thing I most enjoy about this stage of parenting.
I'm sure you've often felt the same as Jenny if you have a teenage child. Watching them make mistakes, wow, it's not easy. But her very wise husband is right, isn't he? We all have to learn to make our own mistakes. And it's better if we do it while we still have wise parents to guide us when something goes wrong.
You're listening to Women of Hope. I wonder if you've ever thought about how Mary, the mother of Jesus, the mother who so many people know about, felt when her boy was growing up. We've heard from Roz before. She's the mother of 3 grown-up children. And she wondered what it would be like for Mary. So one day she thought about how Mary might have felt when she was looking up at her son hanging on the cross. The Bible God's Word, tells us all about how the angel visited Mary and told her that she would have a son. Did you know that she was only a young teenager then? But she became a very wise mother, didn't she? And we're also told about how Jesus was accused of doing wrong and was condemned to die on a wooden cross. As he was hanging there, we're told that some of the women and men who followed him were watching and wondering what was going to happen. Let's listen to Mary's thoughts as Roz imagines what she might have been feeling.
As I stood nearby with my friends, I heard him say, "Father, forgive these people because they don't know what they're doing." Oh, how my heart was breaking to see him there on the cross with those nails they had so cruelly punched into his hands and feet. This was my loving son, the one promised to me more than 30 years ago by the angel. I was so young then, only 16, and engaged to be married to my dear Joseph when that angel visited me. At first I was frightened, but the angel said, "Don't be afraid, Mary, for God has decided to bless you. You will become pregnant and have a son, and you're to name him Yeshua." Well, I knew what that name meant. It was a common name among our people. It meant "the Lord saves." Then the angel went on to say, "He will be very great and will be called the Son of the Most High, and the Lord God will give him the throne of his ancestor David." But I was very confused now. Joseph and I were not yet married. So with my heart pounding, I dared to ask the angel, "But how can I have a baby? I'm a virgin." He answered me, "The power of the Most High will overshadow you, so the baby born to you will be holy, and he will be called the Son of God." What could I say? I was astounded. So I simply answered, "I am the Lord's servant, and I'm willing to accept whatever he wants. May everything you have said come true." Then the angel left me, with my heart still pounding. I looked up at my precious son hanging there. But the angel had said he would reign over Israel, and his kingdom would never end. "Surely they'll come and take him down. Surely they'll realize who he is." Then I heard some of the soldiers calling out to him, "If you are the king of the Jews, save yourself." And they nailed a crude sign one of them had written above him that said, "This is the king of the Jews." They mocked him and spat on him. They had thrown his robe on the ground. I wanted to take it home. It was a beautiful robe that I'd woven for him with no seams, and it was worth a lot of money. This was all I had left. But as I moved closer, I saw and heard the soldiers fighting over it. "Let's not tear it, but throw dice to see who gets it." And I remembered those words of prophecy from our ancestor David. "They divided my clothes among them and threw dice for my robe." I've made so many clothes for him over the years. He was such a sweet baby. My son Jesus grew up to be a happy child, always helping other children and sorting out their problems. What a fine man he's grown into. I was so amazed that time when he was only 12. We thought we'd lost him as we left Jerusalem. We spent 3 days frantically searching for him and finally found him, not running off with his friends as we had thought, but in the temple, sitting among the religious leaders discussing deep questions. When we asked why he'd done this, he simply said, "You should have known that I would be in my father's house." We didn't understand what he meant. As my friends and I huddled together weeping, we moved closer to the cross so we could speak with my dear son and give him some comfort. He looked down at me with such love and compassion in his eyes and said to me, "Woman, he is your son." His eyes were turned to John, standing next to me. John was always very special to him, and he said to John, "She is your mother." Even in his own agony, he thought first of us and our pain. He wanted us to take care of each other, as a mother and son. A short time later, as we stood there in this eerie darkness that had come over the land, even though it was the middle of the afternoon, he turned his eyes toward heaven and in a loud voice cried out, "Father, I give my spirit into your hands." And with those words, he breathed his last. The soldiers came to see if he was still alive. When they saw that he was already dead, one of them pierced his side with a spear and out flowed blood and water. I thought of those puzzling words of Zechariah the prophet, "They will look on him whom they have pierced." And I understood. And my time as his earthly mother was finished.
We can't imagine what it must have been like for Mary, can we? Thanks, Roz, for giving us a little bit of a look into Mary's heart and how she might have felt. Maybe as a mother, you've had to suffer the death of a child too. God understands, and he can comfort you in your grief. Talk to God about it. Ask him to help you in your pain. I'm sure Mary drew strength from her friends at this time too, and you can do the same as you share your real feelings with your friends.
We have one more mother to share some thoughts with us today before we finish. She has three girls, and they're all grown up and married with children. I wonder if this is the time when we wipe our hands together and say, "Well, that's that. I've finished my time as a mother. I can now do what I want to do." What do you think? Let's listen to Ruth.
Wow, where did that time go? Seems no time since we had three small girls living in far-off and lonely places where any education or entertainment depended on me. I proved then that God is a great helper. Am I still a mother? I most certainly am. I've also found I'm a very close friend to those three daughters. We can share seriously or chat and laugh about things that our husbands would think are silly. This is a wonderful and very special stage of our relationship. Do I still pray for my daughters? I most certainly do. I watch them in the process of bringing up their children in their own homes, training them in God's ways, working hard to help each of our grandchildren face the current world in a way that would make their faith strong. That's not an easy task for any mother these days. It's a great encouragement for a grandmother to pray for wisdom for her children and her grandchildren. Do I get involved in the family life of my daughters? What do you think? Retirement is supposed to be that wonderful state you reach when you're too old to be in the workforce. Well, guess what? There's no age limit on being able to help your children and their families. Babysitting, washing, ironing, cleaning, baking are all still very practical ways to fill in all that spare time I thought I was going to have. It's also wonderful to be able to go home and leave the responsibilities behind with those daughters we encouraged through their lives to be women of God. Then the blessing is to see each one of them working together with her husband to do the same for their children. God is so good, and we are very thankful.
Ah, once a mother, always a mother. So, no wiping of our hands and saying, "Well, that's that."
And aren't we glad that we can still be friends with our sons and daughters after they're married?
And that we can be involved in our grandchildren's lives and help them, and pray for them. We can still be loving toward them and be loved by them.
Let's say thank you to God for mothers, whether we are a new mother, a grandmother, or whether we are still at home with our own mother. Thank you, God, for creating mothers. Thank you for giving them the ability to love a child more than anyone else can. And thank you for your love for us as your children. Please help us to love and nurture any child that you have put in our care. We pray this in the name of Jesus, the one who died for us on that cross. Amen.
If you would like to contact us, we would love to hear from you. You can do so by writing to us in care of this station, or you can also email us directly. The address, hannah@twr.org. That's hannah@twr.org. Or visit our website for more resources to help you in your daily life. ProjectHannah.org. That's ProjectHannah.org.
We look forward to our next time together with you. Until then, have a great week filled with God's blessings.